Hello and welcome to Outdoors in Scotland. I'm John Burns, and this is my podcast for folk who like the outdoors in Scotland or anywhere else, to be quite honest. It's the beginning of spring in Scotland, or possibly the end of winter. It's March, and it can do pretty much anything it likes. But I think we're all beginning to think that we're heading now towards the sunnier days of spring, when we begin to think of warm rock and dry conditions. And I don't know whether that'll actually happen, but that's where we are thinking about it. And it's this time of year, really, when people get out in the hills and start thinking about maybe climbing some easy routes or moving on from that. And it's also the time when people start to think about scrambling. I think scrambling's a really interesting sort of concept in a way, because it's like the bridge, I suppose, between hill walking and rock climbing. For some folks, or for perhaps less experienced walkers, scrambling is an introduction to terror, and for other folk, it's just a really interesting way to get to the summit of a mountain. So my guest today is the founder of Sheffield Adventure Film Festival, and he's written a really exciting guide, I think, called Wild Rock. And this is 100-foot fun and easy scrambles across Britain. So I'd just like to introduce Matt Heeson to talk about his book. Hi, Matt, how are you?
Morning, John. Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. It's I'm down in Sheffield, and I don't know what it's like in Scotland where you are, but the sun is shining here, and it's a welcome breath of fresh air.
Oh, we don't have sun up here. It was abolished a few years ago. But yeah, it's I wouldn't say it's exact. It's still winter clinging on by its fingertips here, very much, you know. So what got you interested in writing this guidebook about these routes?
Well, first off, I by chance wrote another guidebook which came out a couple of years ago called Wild Swim Walks in the Peak District. So that was 28 walks which encompassed wild swim spots. It's with a publisher called Wild Things Publishing. I'd reviewed lots of their guides over the years, and then they got in touch and said, well, why don't you write this for us? They wanted a book on wild swim walks. So I thought, well, okay, why not? That's gone amazingly well. It's sold a lot of copies. People really like the guide. It's part of a series of guidebooks. And then I sat down with the publishers, and they, between us, dreamt up this this concept of wild rock. You know, they started out life with their wild swim guides. To be honest, with the swim walks book that I wrote, there was quite a lot of crossover. A lot of the swim spots in the Peak District, and I think probably you could say this for anywhere, kind of fall within rocky areas, because cloughs and valleys, and which create waterfalls and pools, which naturally draw people to swim. We kind of, in the writing this first book, it became obvious that there was a lot of kind of scrambling potential out there.
Yeah.
And whilst there are, you know, scrambling guides to most of the kind of national parks and rocky areas in the UK, I don't believe that there is a scrambling guide, you know, to the whole of the UK.
So what you've written is quite unique, really.
I think so. Yeah.
So when you decided to choose these routes, what were you looking for in a route, really, a scrambling route?
Well, it's an interesting question. So, you know, if you were to approach any kind of, let's say, you know, hardened hill walker or rock climber and say, what is scrambling to you? They would probably say North Face of Trofan, Crib Goch, CMD Arete, some of the classics, Jack's Rake, Lake District, and they're all in these kind of big mountain areas, and they're reasonably kind of big days out in the mountain. I grew up in North Wales, in Snowdonia, and then moved to the Peak, well, South Wales for 4 years, and then the Peak District. And I've always kind of enjoyed moving on rock. So call that scrambling, parkour, coasteering, rock climbing, bouldering. And so we wanted to kind of open up the definition of what scrambling was a little bit, so that we didn't just limit ourselves to these classic ridge lines and the like. We called it a scrambling guide because that is a word that people are familiar with, but really it's kind of playing on rock, it's moving on rock. The other kind of big remit was that it needed to be something that was accessible and approachable by people. That didn't, you know, there's nothing in there that's more than grade one in the traditional kind of scrambling grade, and a lot of it's probably easier than that. It's just, you know, the idea is it's super easy. We have included, you know, Trofan, North Ridge, CMD Arete. There's 100 different routes in there, so we've included many of the classics, but we've also included Dumbarton Rock. How many of us have driven past Dumbarton on the way up to Scotland? So last year, on the way up to the mountains in Scotland, never really stopped. But you see that big hulking bit of rock, and we thought, oh, I bet there's something to be done there. So we stopped off, had a play on the rocks there, and included it in. It's a fun little way to break your journey. And there's no end of little adventures like that in the book. Lots of coastal stuff, lots of gill scrambling, and then your more traditional ridge lines and the like.
And which particular routes really stand out for you in the let's actually take the not, as you said, not the big classic ridges, but the smaller stuff, because it sounds like you spent time, I suppose, discovering little corners of the countryside that give interest and enjoyment to folk.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I grew up just down the road from the cliffs at Tremadog in North Wales. So the town of Port Madoc, Porthmadog, if you pronounce it in the local way. And there's a very little mountain there called Moel y Gaest, which sits in between Porthmadog and the coast. And it's a teeny little thing. It wouldn't feature on anybody's radar from if they were going to North Wales, really, for kind of climbing mountains. You can be up and down it in under an hour. But we went up there to explore that, and it's full of kind of rocky outcrops and ridges and boulders and stuff. And it makes for a really entertaining half day. And then actually, if you drop down from there, you come through the caravan site into Borth I Gaest, the little village by the sea, and there's a little bit of kind of coasteering, if you like, cliffs and boulders to kind of explore on the coast there. It was a really good example of the fact that you don't need to stick to your traditional guidebooks and think, right, well, the scrambles in North Wales, where are they? Well, they're all on Trofan and they're all on Snowdon. They're not, they're all over the place. Wherever there's rock, there is scrambling.
That sounds amazing. You talked about the coast as well. I think as my experience of coastal climbing is that you spend part of the time climbing, the rest of the time slipping about on seaweed at the bottom. I don't know what you. So, are there any particular coastal routes that really stand out for you?
Yeah, I mean, most of this guide was researched and recce last year. And the weather, I don't know whether I was just lucky, whether we had a particularly good year, but I struck gold with the weather. And everywhere I went, we went when the forecast was good. So we generally had kind of good, crisp, dry conditions. So yeah, you still get a bit of seaweed underfoot, but a lot of it, if you choose the right conditions, then it's a joy being by the sea. I went down to Cornwall and recce'd four or five spots on the coast down there, and it was just, really sticky granite. So I don't know. The Ely Chain Walk, we put that in. I don't know if you've done that one. That's up in your neck of the woods, just kind of, on the east coast of Scotland, north of Edinburgh. That's brilliant, but that keeps you above the seaweed, kind of like scrambling along there. And there are, it's almost like a via ferrata without the kind of the formal, cables to clip into. But there are chains to kind of pull yourself along, and that keeps you out of the water.
All that sounds pretty good. Obviously, some of the great sort of Scottish ridges must also come into that. So I've got to hold up our end for Scotland, you see, on this program.
Oh, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I mean, we had, so April last year was Easter holidays. I've got two boys who are 17 and 19. So my then 16-year-old, we were due to go to Fontainebleau for the week. And fortunately, the people we were going with couldn't make it. And so at the last minute, we changed our plans, looked at the forecast. And I said to him, oh, I've still got to do some reccing for this guidebook. I haven't paid Scotland as much attention as I would like to, largely because it's quite a long way from Sheffield. And so we basically headed up to Scotland for the week with the two of us and a friend of his. And I've been to Scotland every year for my 52 years, at least once. And we had the best trip by far that I've ever had. We had 6 days of blue skies, 19 degrees, no midges, no bogs, dry feet. Got seven scrambles in 6 days. That included probably the two most memorable days that I've had in the mountains for a long time. We set off from the North Face car park in Fort William at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, having had a lazy morning camping by the river while camping just north of Fort William. And we basically headed up to the CIC hut, and we basically climbed Ledge Route, which is one of the more serious scrambles in the book.
Right.
A lot of the stuff is very straightforward. There are a few more serious ones in there. There's lots of caveats in there, so we're not sending beginners who've never been scrambling up there. But yeah, we went up ledge route
Well,
and
quite sorry to stop me.
started.
It's quite a long route, ledge route, isn't it?
I mean, it's long in the sense that it's a 2 to 3 hour approach to the CIC hub.
Right.
So by the time you get there, you're already quite tired. The
Okay.
actual
Yes.
scrambling, itself, once you've kind of scrambled up from the CIC hub, I forget which one is it, number five gully you can start up, I think.
Think it is.
And then you break out of the gully there. From there to the top, it's maybe, depends how quickly you're moving, an hour and a half. So yeah, it's a meaty, thing. But it's a fine way of getting to the summit of the UK's highest mountain. And
That's great.
we had bivvy gear. We bivvied on the summit. There were snow patches up there still because it was April. And then yeah, we had the most perfect evening up there. Woke up in the morning and descended down the CMD Arete.
Oh, right, the old Cherry. Yeah, right.
We had the most perfect. That's going to be the front cover of the guidebook. I bought a little drone with me. There was nobody else around at that time in the morning, so we sent the drone up and got some most amazing photos with this clear blue skies. And I'd never actually done the CMD Arete before. I'd been up Ben Nevis,
Oh,
number of times
right.
in the years, but I'd never done it before. So it was a totally memorable couple of days.
It's yeah, I mean you forget really, it is quite a spectacular little route that the Carmel Jerrigaray, isn't it?
Yeah, but an absolute. We met. I say there was no one else around it, but by the time we got to the summit of Carmel Deg at the far end of the arete, there was a guy there who'd come up from the valley, and he was prevaricating over whether he should go strike out along the arete because he was traveling by himself and he was worried of whether it was going to be too difficult for him or whether he'd get himself into trouble. Now, we had a good talk with him, and he saw that I'd come along there with my lad and his friend. And we'd literally bounced along it, and we said no, that it really is. It's very, very basic. There's exposure on one side, but on the if you keep on the I think the northern side, then there's no exposure at all. It's a nice easy angle. There's a good
That's right.
there's a decent path. It's a really once you've done the long walk in and you've still got to face the long walk out, the actual scrambling is really straightforward.
Yeah, and so that's the cover. There's a great, this is the best thing to do on radio is to describe a cover, isn't it, really? But the cover shows three figures, and I wasn't sure whether that was the Carmel Jerrica rep, but it obviously it is, you know?
Yeah,
So,
that's the three of us on a perfect April morning last year.
yeah, it looks I'm not convinced you actually were in Scotland, to be honest, but there you
Neither are
go.
we. Yeah,
Brilliant.
we finished off on Arran, which in all my visits to Scotland, I'd never been to Arran, and
Oh,
that blew me away. We did the Witch's Step. And again, we avoided the difficult bits. So quite often, it's possible on these scrambles to avoid the grade two or grade three sections and just find easier routes around.
Aaron's a little gem, really, isn't it?
Oh, it blew me away. Yeah, we literally a flying visit. We've got the ferry over one night. We went to Seal Island the previous day, where the World Stone Skimming Championships happened.
Right,
And
okay.
so that's gone in. That's a great little excursion. You get the little boat over to Seal Island and explore the old quarries and swim in the pools and skim some stones. And then yeah, we drove from there down and caught the ferry over to Arran. Had an amazing wild camp, looking for otters. And then woke up the next morning and walked up from was it Glen Sannox, Sannox Glen, Sannox Glen. Yeah, amazing. I mean, the weather was perfect. There was actually a wildfire over on was it Goat's Fell? So that made for a very atmospheric day. We never felt any danger from it because there was not much wind and it was a fair distance away. But the pictures in the guidebook you'll see are quite spectacular with the big plumes of smoke.
That's great. I'll have to include that one on the podcast page when I make that one. It sounds amazing. And where would you pick for someone who perhaps lived in the south of England to get easy access to decent scrambling? Because as you said, I'm obviously very conscious that we're really lucky up here in Scotland, but we are a fair distance from a lot of folk.
So it was really important to try and get a decent, as good a geographical spread over the whole of the British Isles as we could. So yeah, Scotland features obviously Peak District, Lake District. There's a reason why in North Yorkshire, Northumberland, and then obviously Wales and South Wales, they're all well covered. central England down to so, you know, southwest England, kind of, you know, Devon, Cornwall, Dartmoor, that was great. It is a lot harder, you know. I did go down to the south coast, and we've included a chapter on the Seven Sisters down there, basically the White Cliffs. Now, strictly speaking, you know, you've not really got very much hands-on scrambling going on down there. However, if you're in that neck of the woods on holiday, or you live down there and you want to get out and play on rock, there's nothing wrong with going down there for the day. It's a really amazing bit of beach, and there are little rock arches and bits of kind of traversing you can do above the stony beaches, for a great swim where you're kind of traversing out over the rock pool. So, you know, it's definitely worthwhile. I wouldn't overlook it and think, oh, there's no scrambling down there. I also checked out the likes of Harrison's Rocks and Bowles Rocks, and there's a bunch of little sandstone outcrops down there that are worth going to. So there's some of them are included.
So it sounds as though the book really, I don't know, you've covered the whole of Britain with it, and it introduced people to who might not even have thought about it, places that they can go and enjoy a little bit of wild, well, a little bit of wild rock, I suppose. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we try to throw some stuff in there that will never have been seen in any of the guidebooks. You know, I go back up to Glencoe. We stopped off at Dumbarton on the way up to Scotland on that gorgeous trip, and we pulled into the car park where the Devil's Elbow comes down, top end of Glencoe. And I think it was about 5 o'clock by then, so it was getting late. But we kind of said, "Oh, anyone got any late?" We'd just driven all the way from Sheffield, so we were all a bit stir crazy, despite the short stop at Dumbarton. And so we just eyed a ridge line heading up towards Buccleuch Moor, and made our own way up there. And I've written that up, so that won't appear in any guidebook anywhere. It's not a traditional scramble, but it was a really good bit of education for the kids, my lad and his friend who were there, to say, look, if you approach things kind of sensibly, and when the weather's good and whatnot, you can find little rocky adventures wherever you are, even in a really too popular touristy destination like Glencoe.
Hey, I noticed that you also like to get, you know, you've given some practical advice within the book, which I think is a really good idea. Are you suggesting that people take a rope with them, or what? Do you think that's unnecessary?
I took a rope with me on a few of the scrambles. I think it depends. You know, I consider myself very experienced in the mountains. Yeah, I still took a rope. It's a catch 22. You know, if you've not got the experience to use a rope, then don't take one. But then you shouldn't be going out in a situation where you need a rope. So on the vast majority of them, I'd say no, you don't need a rope. If you're with a group of people who aren't particularly comfortable and you're heading up onto ledge route on Ben Nevis, then by all means, and you know how to use a rope, then take a rope. But yeah, the majority of them you don't need one for, no. And I've also put a little section in there on guides. You know, with the perhaps the hardest, most serious day in the or route in the book is on the Coolin. I call it the Mini Coolin, and it's kind of a little section of the Coolin Ridge, which, you know, I wouldn't recommend that a total novice goes up there. If you've done a bit of scrambling before, then there's some instructions in there on how to have a short day on the Coolin. But I've also put, you know, details of some mountain guides in Scotland, in the Lake District, and in North Wales. So if you do fancy kind of trying some of the kind of slightly more meaty ones, but you don't feel comfortable enough, or you don't know, you feel like you should have a rope, but you don't have the experience in order to kind of manage a rope, then employ a guide and go and have an amazing day out.
And sometimes people carry a rope just as a sort of backup in case they maybe get off route or something, which could be quite easy to do sometimes, you know. So
Yeah, well, also I've grown up with my two boys in the mountains, and we'd often take a rope and just you'd get a rope out just to play with it. You know, there's no harm in playing with a rope or putting a rope on and be familiar with how to belay, how to set belays. I remember wild camping in a car park in North Wales below Cader Idris, and there was an old stone wall with an old toilet block in the car park. And so we just spent the night there, and we got out some climbing gear, and I showed them how to set a belay in the cracks in the stone wall.
Well, that's all really useful experience, isn't it? And
Absolutely,
so you now this your wild rock comes out in April, is that right?
Officially April, yeah. I believe they arrived at the warehouse at 9:15 this morning.
Oh right, well, this is a really good time to be having this conversation then, isn't it? So what you this is obviously you burgeoning out into your new writing career from organizing events and that kind of thing. So what's next for you and your mountain pen?
So the next book that I'm looking at writing with the same publishers is a book on kind of coastal scrambling or coasteering. So kind of a little bit
Really?
of a merging between the kind of the wild swimming and the wild rock, but I'm focusing on the coastal stuff.
Right, so that's and how what's age what sort of stage are you at with that at the moment then?
I don't think it'll be this time next year. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it'll be this time next year when it comes out. Might be the year after. It depends
Yeah,
how.
it's
Depends
often
on the
hard to
weather we get
tell.
this summer. You know,
Yeah,
it's a.
yeah,
You know,
yeah,
there's no point wrecking stuff if we just have you know, a summer full of rain.
Yeah, I've never really thought about that, but mountain writing is one of the few branches of writing that's actually dependent on the weather. So that's
Yeah. Well, hopefully you'll see in the photographs in the book. Photography is really important in the book, you know, so all the
Yeah.
photos have been taken on nice days, you know, with the sun shining and blue skies, because that's what we're all aspiring to, really. No one really wants to go scrambling in the rain.
Not really, no. No, I've done it a bit. It's not the most pleasant experience, really, is it?
No.
It sounds a fantastic book, and be really interesting to have a look at it. And maybe I think you've talked about some of the scrambles that I've done myself over the years. You know, I think you talked about Ben Nevis, and you know, I think scrambles are unique in the way that they kind of create a memorable day as well. Is that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got, well, I say 100. There's 100 scrambles in the book, but I actually wrote recce'd and wrote up more like 150 to 160. So yeah, I've got, you know, well over 100 really kind of strong, happy memories now from writing this book. So it'd be really nice to think that people can go out and kind of make their own memories using the same thing. I mean, you know, who knows? Some people like ticking. It'll be a great tick list to tick everything off in the book.
Oh no, you've started another tick list. I hadn't thought about that, but that's exactly what you've done. Oh no. They'll be called Heasons, of course. Anyway, listen, fantastic talking to you. Really looking forward to reading your book. And I think it's the kind of book that will inspire many people to get out of the hills and explore new places and really enjoy themselves. So thanks very much for talking to me.
Great, thanks. Thanks, John.
And thanks there to Matt Heason talking about his book about the great scrambles of the British Isles. If you've enjoyed that, do give me a wee follow. It gladdens the heart of this old podcaster every time someone follows me, you know. So if you can pop over and click whatever you've got to click, I don't know how you do it really, to be quite honest. Just to let you know what's coming up on Outdoors in Scotland, I'll be talking next to Martin Howe. This is for all the walkers, the long distance walkers out there, about his book The Coast Is Our Compass, which I think, to be quite honest, is as much about his mind wandering as his feet wander the coastal paths and byways of England. That sounds to be a really fascinating little podcast. I'm looking forward to that. I also thought that I would interview Dennis Gray again, mainly to talk about the exploration of the massive rock climbs, you know, of Yosemite. And this took place mostly, this exploration of the Age of the Stone Masters, I think. Dennis must be one of the last people around to be able to talk about his personal experience. So I think that'd be fascinating. That one is for the rock climbers amongst you. And if anybody out there has got a person they'd like me to interview or talk to or otherwise interrogate, do get in touch. I'd love to hear your suggestions. And as we go, just to thank again Derek Williams for his excellent skills on editing these podcasts, without which they'd all sound a bit crap, to be honest. Thanks very much for listening. Do come again.